Welcome, everyone. My name is Erin Schaefer, and I'm the grad assistant over at the Women's Center. I'd like to welcome you to our Spring 2012 Women on Wednesday series, Exploring and Making Visible Women's Intersecting Identities. This semester's series on women's intersecting identities will explore the rich layers of women's multiple identities and how these intersections shape their lived experiences and perceptions. A few items before we get started. Please turn off your cell phones. Also, please remain seated until 12:50 as a courtesy to our speakers. If you could please fill out the evaluation forms, we use your feedback for future programming. Our session today is titled LGBTQ Panel. Our panelists will discuss the often contradictory expectations and norms within the dominant and LGBTQ community. They will discuss a variety of issues, including gender performance, the distinction between gender and sexual orientation, and the complexities of living with intersecting identities. Our panelists today are Kayla Lubers, you want to wave so they know who you are, okay, Dao Vang, and Trevor Johnson. Kayla Lubers is a senior at St. Cloud State University, majoring in communication studies with a minor in human relations and multicultural education. A self-identified queer activist, she has volunteered and worked at the LGBT Resource Center since 2006 and served leadership capacities in Out Loud, a student activist group on campus. Dao Vang is a Hmong student at St. Cloud State University, majoring in social work, who identifies as gay and as a drag queen. Through the SCSU LGBT Resource Center, he found community and learned about drag, an art form expressed through transforming from male to female via entertaining and educational performance. Trevor Johnson is in his last semester of studies at St. Cloud State University and will graduate with a bachelor's degree in communication studies with an emphasis in leadership and organization. He identifies as a transgender and has been volunteering at the LGBT Resource Center for several years. Johnson has also been involved with two student organizations, Out Loud and LGBT or GLBT Alliance, and is currently serving as the chair of Out Loud's highly popular drag show. We are very grateful to have them here with us today. Please join the Women's Center in welcoming Kayla Lubers, Dao Vang, and Trevor Johnson. Okay, we're doing a question and answer format. So our first question is, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the various areas of your life that make up your identities?
Dao, you want to start?
I can start. Hi. I grew up in St. Paul and in the east side where there was a lot of Hmong people. And I came to realize that I was gay when I was probably around five, when I started like playing a lot with my sisters and not my brothers and their friends. And I always knew that there was something different about myself. And then when I was in the fifth grade, I finally realized that I did have an attraction to other men. And then when I was in middle school, I came to realize what the word gay meant and that that was a attraction to males. And I came out to myself around the 9th and 10th grade in high school, and I was still scared, as anyone would be. Like, I didn't know how I should feel about it, and I didn't know how people would feel about it. And so I always kept to myself, and I distanced myself a lot in high school, and I kept away, and like, I didn't really tell anyone whether they knew it or not already. And then I finally came out, I was outed a bit to my parents from my brother when I was 16, and I think at the time my parents were really like still in denial, and they were just like, oh, he can't be, so they kind of just brushed it off and was like, you know, don't say that about him and whatever. And then when I was 2 years later, January, I came out to my parents. I just couldn't like take it anymore, and I was like, I have to do it. If for my sake, if not, like I just have to do it, because I had felt like I had been living this long life that that was kind of like double. Like, I was living a certain life at home that my parents would want to see, and when I went to school, like, I would be living what I wanted to see, and I kind of wanted to combine those two. And so I decided to come out to my parents. They didn't take it so well, so like I just kind of told them that, you know, whatever, like, if they wanted to kick me out, I wouldn't be surprised, and like, I'm okay with that. Like, I wouldn't hate them for doing so, and I know it was hard, so I kind of just let them know how I felt about that. And then basically going on, like, they just didn't speak about it to me or of it at all. And then I just came to college, and I kind of like came around the center and just came out more in a sense. And then just this or last June or July there, I finally got into drag. And that's where I started like contemplating performing to entertain people and stuff. And mostly it was like an expression for me, and it's something that I like. I feel that shows the empowering of femininity and like how it makes me embrace both like both genders.
Hello, my name is Trevor Johnson, like she said, and I identify as a transgender man. What this means is that I was born biologically female, but I identify as a man. It's taken me a long time to come to where I am today, so I'm going to kind of take you down the journey of what brought me to coming out. So I was raised in the small town of Ashby, Minnesota, and throughout high school, I began to realize that I was attracted to women. That's the first thing I realized, and then I also had a lot of gender dysphoria, and also began thinking that I like thinking of myself as a man. And not really knowing what to do with that, I came to terms with the fact that I was attracted to women first, and so I actually came out as a lesbian. I didn't come out until I came to college, though, because I was from a small town, and I was a bit afraid of what people would do and coming out in a small town. So I waited till I came to St. Cloud State. I began coming to the LGBT Resource Center, and I was identified as a lesbian for a long time. In about 2010, I began to realize that lesbian wasn't really how I identified. I began to realize that I'm also attracted to men as well. So I somewhat identify as bisexual now, but about a year and a half ago, I finally came to terms with the fact that I'm transgender. Back in high school, I didn't really have a word for it, and so I didn't really know that it was possible. And so when I came to college, I began learning about gender identity and that there is a thing called transgender or transsexual. And so I knew that it was possible at that point for a long time. It took me a long time to come out because I kind of was like, I don't really want to have to go through the process. I don't want to have to transition. I don't want to have to change my name. I don't want to have to tell people, come out again after coming out as a lesbian, coming out again as transgender. Even the people within the LGBT community, I don't know how they're going to react. And so it took me a long time to actually come to terms with the fact that I am transgender. And October 29th last year, I finally came out and I told people and I started my transition. Shortly after that, I started going to therapy and started the transition. And I've now been on testosterone for 10 months. Coming up here on the 19th, it'll be 10 months. That's kind of how I came to be in that identity. I also identify as an activist. I am the coordinator of the drag show, like she said. And I also identify as a leader within the LGBT community here on campus. I am a part of Out Loud, which is our organization that does a lot of workshops and programming. Other than identifying as a trans man, I also just identify as a man sometimes. I don't necessarily I'm not necessarily out to everyone that I meet. Sometimes I'm just a man. Those are the identities that I can think of right now.
I'm Kayla. So a bit about myself. Well, I grew up half an hour north of here in the town of Little Falls. I grew up on a farm. I have lots of siblings. And so growing up, like, I wasn't really out to myself even until I hit high school. I was, I think, a freshman in high school, and I was like, okay, I think I'm attracted to women. I don't know what to do about that. Okay. And then I was like, wait, don't do anything about it. It is what it is, whatever. And then my sophomore year, I was like, ah, there's a word for this. It's lesbian. Cool. Rockin'. Had my first crush on a woman. Which, funny side story, I'm now engaged to be married to in September. Then, like, came to college and started really, like, looking at myself. I went through a phase where I was, and I use the term phase lightly, where I was like, I'm cutting off all of my hair, I'm only wearing men's clothing, rawr, I'm lesbian, hear me roar. And was like, you know, like, not really, like, in people's faces, but I also wanted people to know that I wasn't like them, and not to assume things about me and who I was and how I was making it through this world. And then after that, I was like, well, you know, I don't really think that I'm really comfortable like this. And so then I kind of took a swing back in the other direction. And a lot of things led to that. Like, lots of pressures from the outside. Like, I didn't want people to assume my identity because I was so proud of who I was. And now I'm like, I'm just comfortable. Like, I'm just comfortable with who I am. Also, my partner is incredibly, incredibly masculine. And so I didn't want to be in that relationship, that stereotypical relationship where it's a masculine woman and a feminine woman. And it was something that I fought for a very, very long time. And then finally I was like, I don't really care that I happen to fall into a stereotype that exists in the world. Which brings us to today. I now identify as queer. I kind of had a mind-blowing experience at a conference once. Heather Hackman, who teaches heterosexism and homophobia, gave us a project to not monitor our attractions to people. And I went off to the big gay conference and was like, okay, I'm not going to monitor my attractions. I'm just going to let it happen and see what happens. And then I was like, crap. Lesbian is so constricting. What do I do about this? And so now I would identify as queer. I believe that my identity is fluid and that my attractions are also fluid. That doesn't mean that I'm going to act on my attractions or anything like that. It just means that I can acknowledge the fact that, like, as a whole person, I'm queer and not a lesbian. And we'll get more into more identities as we go.
Next question is, what are the rewards and benefits of your intersecting identities?
Should we just go in the same order? Yeah. Well, I think one of the more obvious rewards and benefits is being able to sit up here and do this talk. But to go more deeper into that, I think just meeting other people who kind of feel and think the same way you do, in a sense, and then the being able to challenge the status quo and changing society and trying to, like, mend things to be open to everyone and whatnot is kind of how I see, like, my rewards and benefits. And I think like when I came to terms with all my, like, identities and whatnot, or most of them anyway, like, I think it makes me such a happier person. Like, it, like, I'm not sad and depressed or, like, you know, all the time, and I'm more, like, outgoing and more talkative and more just, like, being able to kind of, like, live life without having to worry so much about trying to figure out, oh, am I gay? If I'm Hmong and I don't, like, hang out a lot with Hmong people, am I Hmong enough and the whatnots?
Okay, I have a couple of rewards and benefits that I've thought about. The first one I want to speak on is the fact that I did identify as a lesbian for a number of years is something that I carry with me throughout my life, and also that I identified as a woman for 22 years-ish. Also, I carry that with me as well, and so I think that when it comes to, like, issues like on sexism and those kind of things, I do carry with me the fact that I did identify as a woman for a long time. And so I think that gives me a benefit to be able to relate and empathize with people on those kind of things. And then also, one of the biggest benefits that I have had coming out as trans is to kind of allow other people to feel comfortable coming out. In our community, I wasn't the first one to come out as trans, but at the time, there was no other trans people in our community. When I came out a year and a half, well, yeah, like a year and a half ago, right after me, another trans person came out. Now we have a trans ally group that I helped in starting. And we have about like five or six consistent people that I know come to GLBT Alliance and those kind of things. And before, there wasn't really any of the T in GLBT Alliance. And now there is a number of people that feel comfortable coming. And I don't know, I'm really happy that I kind of helped. I wasn't the sole cause of it, but I'm really happy that I kind of helped with that. And so, those are the ones that I can think of right now.
Rewards and benefits. I think I'm going to have to concur with Dao. Greatest benefit is that we're sitting up here. And many things like that. I think that one of the biggest benefits for me is that I can go into a lot of situations with a lot of different perspectives. I can go with the perspective that I'm a woman, that I identify as queer, that I was raised in lower middle class, that I grew up on a farm. Like, all these different things play into my everyday life, and they're things that I had never really thought affected me until about a year ago when I was like, wait, I'm more than just one thing at a time. And so being able to provide insight and different stuff to different people. Also with the identifying once as a lesbian and now identifying more as queer, I think a big benefit of that is people reach out to me still. In fact, yesterday somebody did and was like, hey, you know, I kind of identify as a lesbian, but I don't know that that's right. Like, how do I make that change? And I'm like, well, just say it. Like, you said it, now you're good. And how do I negotiate these feelings and stuff? And talking about that stuff, it's allowed me to be a better advocate for my fellow students at the LGBT Resource Center.
What are the challenges of having multiple identities? And could you share a story or example of these challenges?
Well, I think the two most common identities that I can identify with is being Hmong and being gay. And a lot of the times, the Hmong community is new to homosexuality, so they don't understand it and they don't know much about it. And so you always get shunned for being gay in that community. I know coming out to my parents was hard because they didn't know what being gay was, and there isn't really a word in the Hmong language that defines any person of the LGBT community, and so it was kind of hard coming out to them because I couldn't really say I'm gay and Hmong to them, but I had to go and explain to them that I was attracted to men. So that's one of the examples why it's hard to have these identities, because I know to me, when I came out to most of my American friends, I was, easily accepted, and they knew more about it, and they were understanding, and they can help me and support me and whatnot. But today, most of the Hmong people just kind of shun it, and if they don't understand it, they don't want to talk about it or anything. And then two years ago, I think I learned of this organization based off in St. Paul and Minneapolis called Shades of Yellow, and that's an LGBT organization that consists of, I guess, just Asian people in general that identify as LGBT or allies. And that was the first time where I went there and I can actually identify with most of other people and kind of have that same understanding as everyone else, whereas before that, and even still today, I guess, like, the most of the Hmong community still kind of shun you and don't understand and just kind of, like, push it under the rug and just don't talk about it.
The first challenge that I thought of was, I guess, being perceived to be a man and not people not knowing, like, I mean, that's a good thing, I want to be perceived to be a man, but people not knowing that I'm trans and whether or not to come out to them. So, like, at work, I'm out to a lot of people, but at the same time, a lot of people I'm not out to. And so kind of navigating whether or not I feel comfortable enough telling them. And mostly because then I think a lot of people, after they know, they'll screw up pronouns. And they'll use, you know, she and her for me. And then I'm like, you've only known me as Trevor. Like, why are you saying she and her when you know me as Trevor and you've never known me before? So that's one challenge, is whether or not to come out. And another challenge with that is I am mostly attracted to women. And this is kind of a benefit and a challenge at the same time, more an inner, like, struggle, but it's a benefit on the outside. So I'm primarily attracted to women. And before, when I identified as a lesbian, you know, at work, I didn't feel comfortable. At the time in my position, then I worked at a gas station. I didn't feel comfortable, like, just outwardly saying that I was a lesbian, and like not being able to talk about my partner because, you know, my partner was a woman. And now it's a completely different story. I can talk about my partner all the time because I get that heterosexual privilege. And that's a really big inner struggle for me, is having that privilege and feeling really bad about it. And so I usually use a partner anyway when talking about a partner. But it's a big inner struggle for me to have gone from not having that privilege of being able to talk about my partner, but to now having that. And that's really difficult for me. Another a challenge is when we're talking about relationships, and that's that I've always identified within the queer community, and now my relationships appear to be, like, straight, and kind of going around that, and I kind of don't know how to deal with that because it's I've never dealt with that before, and so. How do I identify as being queer, but I'm in a, like, perceived heterosexual relationship? And that's a struggle with my partners as well, because a lot of my partners have identified as a lesbian. And, like, the person I'm interested in right now, she identifies as a lesbian, and having to kind of navigate that and figure out identities can be quite a challenge.
I think that the biggest challenge for me with multiple identities is like the feeling that you have to check part of your identity at the door, that you can't be a whole person in every setting. And I'm trying to come up with a really good example and I'm failing to do so. But like, you walk into give me a place, any place, like the grocery store, sure, random place, and it feels like out in the world, particularly when I'm with my partner, like, we don't hold hands in public, we're not affectionate with each other outside of our home or the center, and so it's like I had to leave all that at the center or at home, and I'm not asking the world to be like, oh, okay, yay, hold hands and stuff, but like, I also feel like oftentimes that part of me gets left behind, and that's, like, painful. I also think that it's really easy to, like, for me, my internal battle, like Trevor says, like at work, people are just like, lesbian, okay, and I let it fly, like whatever. But that's not who I am, actually. And within the queer community, I would say queer, because there's no like question about it. But then you go outside in the world and somebody's like, so you're a lesbian. It's hard to be like, well, actually I'm queer. And then they're like, wait, what's that? And like, how does that work? Like, ah. And like to see people's different reactions to that, like it's made it really difficult to even want to try anymore. Which really doesn't do myself or my community any justice. Because we try and live by this philosophy of who you're with doesn't define who you are. But I let it define me every single day. Not internally, but externally. I let the world put that on me because I don't know how to confront it and change it. That's what I got.
Next question is, how do you face the challenges you experience as an LGBTQ individual? And then what is it like negotiating your identities both within the LGBTQ community and outside of the LGBTQ community?
When I'm comfortable enough to face it, I face it. A lot of the times I question my safety. If I don't feel safe like facing these challenges that occur, I kind of just hold back and, you know, see what happens. But if I'm more than comfortable in like facing challenges and calling people out and just like educating people and doing anything that I feel comfortable in doing, then I do it. I think to negotiate, it's kind of hard because sometimes I go home and my parents still aren't like open to the idea and still aren't accepting. And so it's, for me, it is like how Kayla said, like, when I go back home, I feel like I leave the gay part of me up here in St. Cloud because that's where I've been out like most of my life. And when I go home, I'm barely like, I have a few people that I can talk to, but I still don't talk much about the gay side of my life, you know, because I know that there's more to me than that, just that, but like that all those things get left up here and like I don't talk about it all the time. And then like I think even there's challenges here that I'm still facing, just being trying to be part of the Hmong community, at the same time being part of the LGBT community here, because I know like the Hmong community here isn't so accepting yet, and so it's been hard for me to kind of go into that setting and be comfortable with myself and be comfortable with the people that I'm with. And then just coming to the center, like sometimes I feel like I'm the only Asian, the only Hmong guy that comes around a lot in the center. And so it's hard for me to, like, for when I want to find someone who I can relate to, like I can't turn around and just find someone that's kind of like me and always, and so to negotiate, like, I just kind of, I feel like it's hard. It is a difficult battle. I don't want it to do it, but I have to do it until, like, I feel comfortable in finding that space, safe space at the Hmong environment, and then coming to the center, just kind of, and I think being open and being, like, a leader for the LGBT community kind of opens that up for the Hmong community to see that we do have a gay Hmong man on campus that is open, that is, you know, a leader, that is an activist, that kind of opens the doorways for those others who aren't so out to kind of come up and then kind of get, you know, just get involved in both sides of the community so that I can, like, be proud of not only having set those paths, but also being like being able to just relate to someone else without having to kind of like seek them out all the time would like make me happy and stuff. So,
okay. One of the challenges that I face in my personal life is I used to live with my grandmother. And so she was my primary parent, and coming out to her as trans, she has not been accepting at all. And so I can really relate to going home and feeling like you have to leave everything behind. I have to live as another person when I go home, which is really difficult. Having to answer to my previous name and she and her, and it really puts me in a very bad mood coming back up here. So I actually don't talk to my my family very often, just because I know that it just puts me in a horrible place and makes me depressed. And so that's a big challenge, being a transgender, for me. One other thing is, the difference between sex and gender. So like on forms, it says gender or it says sex, and it really bothers me, because I know that there's a difference between sex and gender, and sex is biological, gender is your identity, whether you feel that you are a man or a woman. And so when boxes like say sex / gender, I'm like, those are different. Like, I don't know. Like, I wish there was like a standard way of making a form and everyone used it. And also having with the name change, before I went and got my name legally changed, having to fill out forms and having to put my legal name on them, I kind of wish that there was a place for like preferred name, and then legal name if you need it. So those are kind of just some random challenges. Another challenge for me is going back to the relationship thing within the LGBT community. Like, I think like dating and with like trans people is kind of like a new, I don't know if it's new, but it's like just like a confusing type thing, like with identity and gender identity. And one thing I wanted to quick point out is that sexual orientation and gender identity are very different. So, because I realized we hadn't talked about that much. So sexual orientation is who you're attracted to, and then gender identity is how you feel yourself. So everyone has a sexual orientation and everyone has a gender identity, and they are kind of separate. And so, yeah.
So I've had a lot of time to think, and you'd think that I have a great answer, especially since I've had these questions for like 2 weeks. It's really hard to come up with something that's like super insightful and something that everyone hasn't heard 1,000 times. Like, these guys did a great job, and I have nothing. So I think, like a challenge of negotiating things is now that, I'm more comfortable with myself, I often have to deal with the assumptions of the world, and so I am pretty feminine, at least I like to think so, and I don't really care what anyone has to say about it. If you don't think I'm feminine, I don't care. And so, like, dealing with that, like, people don't see lesbian when they see me. They see and presume I'm a heterosexual woman. One of the things, like, right now, me and my partner are getting ready to get married in September. And how I always end up choosing, like, a company or anything like that is how their initial reaction is to me. So I went to, shameless plug, the Bridal Boutique in town, met this fabulous woman who helped me try on a wedding dress, and she was like, so, like, tell me about your fiancé. And I was like, one, she didn't use a gender pronoun at all. And two, when I said, well, her name is Holly, she was like, oh, cool, tell me more about her. Like, blah, 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 never missed a beat, not once. Went to Mested's, and that woman never recovered. She was like, so tell me about the groom. And I was like, no groom, another bride. And she was like, oh. And then it was just awkward the rest of the time we were there. She had no idea what to do with herself. She kind of avoided me a little. And so I didn't buy my dress there. And then the third place we went, and the final place, the form that I filled out, which I was really, really pleased with, it was David's Bridal in Maple Grove. It said on their bride's name, and groom / partner. And I was like, I am so pleased to write this name in here, you have no idea. And then the woman failed to look at the form, apparently, because she was like, so how did he propose? And I was like, I proposed, actually, to her. And she was like, oh, okay, blah, 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 like, kept moving on and bought a dress, and it was great. And so, like, I... Like, that's also how I deal with the challenges that come from, like, negotiating identities in a not-so-friendly environment is I do business with businesses that are friendly towards me. I challenge people on their assumptions simply by talking to them. I don't walk around saying, hey, I'm a lesbian. But if somebody's like, so do you have a boyfriend? I'm like, no, actually I have a fiance. And then they're like, oh, well, that's the same as a boyfriend. I'm like, actually, no, she's a woman. No boyfriend at all. No boy, even. And so, like, that's kind of how I deal with it as far as, like, my queer identity. Other identities, like... I don't really have as rough of a time with, like, I'm white. Nobody's like, hey, you're white, you know, like, blah. No, like, it's a privilege I have and I own it. Like, and it's a matter of, like, using those privileges to help and better our world for people who don't have them. And so that's kind of, like, how I go through the world, is, like, looking at the privileges I have and trying to use them to the benefit of everyone.
Sure.
One other challenge that I just remembered now is dealing with being an activist. So I do identify as an activist, and so I have opinions on things, and when I hear people say things, I immediately want to respond. But having to kind of figure out when it's appropriate to respond or when it's not, and like when you hear someone say like that's so gay or the R word or like anything that's just horrible to say, deciding whether or not you're gonna say something to them, whether or not it's safe to say something to them, like if you put yourself in a position where you're not safe, and then I guess my challenge with that is that when I don't say something, even if I had a good reason for not saying it, even if it was gonna put me in harm's way, that stays with me for like months, and I'm just like thinking about it. I'm like, I should have said something. Like, I feel horrible now. I do have an example actually of I was in a class, and it was this past summer, and so I'd been out as trans for a while, and I hadn't got my name changed yet, but I had what I did was I emailed my professors before. We had the first class and to tell them, you know, hey, guess what, I'm trans, and use this name, use he's and hims, please, thank you. I was in this class, and a professor, like, just said something about someone being both a woman and a man, and I saw that on Jerry Springer once, and then he laughed, and I was just, like, sitting there in class, and I was just like, okay, I feel like the littlest, like, just the most invisible person in the world right now, and like that was this past summer, and I'm still like just torn up about it because I didn't do anything. And so I guess being an activist and just kind of carrying that with you as well is a challenge to want to stand up for everything, and then I mean you can't be on the top of your game all the time. So
okay, let's go ahead and open up to questions or comments. Yes.
I was wondering, can you define the term queer? I know it's sometimes been used as an umbrella term for an entire community, but I'm confused. Can you define
it? Can I define it? So that's
your best
great question. a stumper right out the door. Okay, so my personal definition of queer, because queer can be whatever you want it to be, basically. And yeah, it's used often in as an umbrella term, especially in academia. So if you are doing a paper on LGBT folks, your best bet is to type in queer. No matter what anyone tells you, you're going to find more results. Anyway, for me, queer is as much about like my sexual orientation and the fact that I am attracted to both women and men, that like but it's also more broad than that. Queer is also a pretty politically charged term. And so sometimes it's just kind of like, it sounds terrible, but like I identify as queer because I know it's going to get somebody's attention. And sometimes that's really, really convenient, and sometimes it's really, really not. And sometimes I'm like, never mind, just a lesbian. Sorry. Because at the end of the day, self-preservation is key. But queer is basically whatever anyone wants it to be. I would say the best definition is it's an umbrella term, and people identify as queer because it's... There's not a lot of like stigma with it. There's no binary with it. There's no box with it. Queer is just kind of out there floating in the universe. Whereas like lesbian, lesbian for me was such a hard term because it was like, and it, like, you get the man hating lesbian kind of thing going on. And I was like, I'm not a man hating lesbian. Like, I'm an angry lesbian, but not a man hating lesbian. and so like, how do I negotiate that? And once I had gotten past the, like, I'm okay if people think of me that way because I know I'm not that way, then it was, well, lesbian says that I shouldn't be attracted to men. Lesbian says I'm only attracted to women, and that's not the truth, and that's not who I am, and that's not who I want to be. Sorry, I know that that's a lot of, like...
Yeah.
Go for it.
Do you want to repeat the question too?
Yeah. What's the difference between queer, pansexual, and bisexual? Let's see. I would say, I mean, like, I can only speak to what I think. And I guess queer, I would say, is more like a wide umbrella term for, like, and it can also be, I feel, for, like, gender identity and sexual orientation. So, like, there's something called genderqueer, and then there's like using queer as your sexual identity would be like just a really like Kayla said, an umbrella term, meaning that it's up to you however like you're attracted to, and then bisexual is you're attracted to all genders or sexes, and then. Pansexual is that you look mostly at like characteristic traits, at least that's how I have seen it, is that you don't necessarily look at someone because of what gender they are or what sex they are. You look at someone because of who they are. Would that be a good definition?
It's there. For now, without going on for 20 years.
Yeah. Yes.
So like between letters, is that what you're saying?
Basically.
You know, like, I mean, as queer, because I identify, like, you feel like, for the broader community, I use the term lesbian, because it's like, queer is like, honestly, if you're a fan. But there is discrimination within the lesbian, within the gays, within everybody. And there's stigmas and stereotypes within the community, and people tend to be picky, and, you know, and butt heads.
Have we seen it?
Thanks, Anna.
Well, I also identify as a drag queen and as a gay man. And drag queen, I believe, falls under trans, the trans umbrella. And so other gay men would look at me and be like, why would I want to date you if you're a woman? And then, like, I just think, well, I'm not really a woman. I'm just doing this for entertainment purposes. And, like, I like to do it to entertain people. And so, like, but, like, that's 1% of my life. The other 99% of the time, I'm still a gay man. I still identify as a man. I still am attracted to a man. And I still want men to be attracted to me for Dao and not my drag persona. And so, like, I've seen and dealt with that kind of discrimination in a sense the past few months, because I it's hard to, most gay men are, most gay men want masculine gay men for a relationship, and that's how I've seen it most of the time. And so it's hard to go into that community and be like, well, I'm a feminine gay man who likes to drag, going into a masculine community and try to find a potential partner when most of the time they feel that you're, if you do drag, then you automatically identify as a woman.
One other thing. So you are saying that there's discrimination from the heterosexual community to the homosexual community and within the LGBT community, because I don't like that word. kind of how do you deal with that? So like the way I see it, I think that anybody who doesn't understand anyone else, like why they identify that way, there might be some discrimination there. So like straight people might not know how people within the LGBT community feel the way they do, because they don't feel that way. Same with, you know, gay people, lesbians, bisexuals, alphabet soup of different sexualities. They might not understand each other, and so they think that kind of affects us and kind of allows for discrimination. And so I guess my suggestion would be that everyone just remains open-minded and kind of willing to listen to each other and understand why each other feel that way.
So I just had a conversation about this yesterday. We just came back from MimbleTech, a big conference in Ames, Iowa. And so it gives you a lot of time to think about this and like why these things happen and how. And the conversation that I had was about like invisibility. So a lot of times different parts of our community feel invisibilized. And whether that is a problem within our community or a larger societal problem, I don't really know the answer to that. I think it's a combination of both. But I think that when people start to feel invisibilized, they become defensive. And I think that is, I don't want to use the word right, but like I think that's a reaction that is natural. Like you want to defend your identity and you want to be seen and heard, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then like it kind of becomes like a who's getting attention sort of thing from my perspective, and like we lose sight of a common goal and what we really want to accomplish as a community. I think that we prescribe to a lot of like roles, like gender roles, stereotypes, stuff like that, because one of the things that I've learned throughout my women's studies courses and stuff is that like we're given, heterosexual people are given a model, and you just fall into it and you do it. Like the man mows the lawn, the woman does the dishes, you know, stuff like that. Like, and we're breaking down those norms every day. However, queers were never given those norms, and so we had to create them, which means a lot of more negotiating goes into our relationships, which makes things a little more tense, and not necessarily like in our like intimate relationships, but with our relationships with each other. Who fills those roles? How do we fill those roles? And then the bigger question that I would ask is, why do we have to fill them anyway? Whoever wants to do it, just do it and be done. Like, that's kind of my, like, solution. Just stop bickering about who's doing the dishes, which is a bad example, but just do it. Like, if you like doing the dishes, do them. I don't know. Like, I hope that's helpful. Sorry.
Any last comments or questions? Okay, let's thank our panelists.
You all rock.